Well, we could entitle today's gospel, "The Greeks Come to See the Lord." Now, this event is a very interesting event. It occurred just 1 week before our Lord's death. And really, only a few times in the Lord's life did the pagans come in search of him. The first time occurred just after the Lord was born. And these were the wise men who traveled all the way, from Persia to come and offer Christ gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And that occurred very shortly after the birth of Christ. And here we have, right before his death, within a week of his death, the Greeks come and they want to see the Lord. And it says they were in town for the Passover feast. In those days, people would travel from all over the Mediterranean to be in Jerusalem during the high holy days, during especially the Passover. Just as today people will go to Rome during Holy Week, even if they're not particularly Christian, but they go to be there at that special time. So it says the Greeks went to the Feast of Passover in Jerusalem, and they had probably heard a great deal about this Jesus of Nazareth. Our Lord, just a few days before, had come in and swept out all the money changers from the temple. Just recently, he had raised Lazarus from the dead, and they probably thought, well, we have to see this man. We have to see this man who could raise people from the dead. So these Greeks came, and they wanted to get to see Christ. But of course, there were so many people around that they didn't know how to get to the Lord. Well, they learned that one of the Lord's disciples has a Greek name, and that was Philip. And Philip was from Bethsaida, which was on the eastern side of the Sea of Galilee, which was a sort of a Greek-speaking location. So they figured, well, there's our chance. We're Greek. This guy's Greek. He'll get us in to see Jesus, right? Because the Greeks always stick together. You saw probably the movie My Big Fat Greek Wedding, right? Remember all the family ties and the relationship that they have because of their culture. Well, they said, this is our inn. We'll go to Philip. He'll get us to see Jesus. So they go and say, we want to see Jesus. Isn't that beautiful how the pagans are now wanting to see the Lord, how our Lord attracts people from all over? Well, Philip doesn't know what to do about this. This is a unique situation. So he goes to Andrew. And Andrew is really what we call the PR man for the apostles. He's the public relations man. He's always introducing people to Jesus. Remember, he brought his brother St. Peter to meet the Lord. He found the little boy that had 5 loaves and 2 fish. He brought him to Jesus. And now he brings the Greeks to see the Lord. So Andrew is the socializer. He brings them along. Now, what's very interesting is that we don't know what they said to Jesus. We don't know the question that they asked him, but we do know the Lord's response. And so based upon how the Lord reacts and how he responds, we can take some guesses at the offer that they made or at the message that they brought to the Lord. According to some of the scholars, according to scholars like Bishop Sheen, he believes that the Greeks knew that our Lord's death was very near at hand, that if he stayed in Jerusalem, he would be killed. In fact, our Lord predicted it, and it was very obvious that his life was in danger. So it seems that the Greeks could have said to the Lord, Jesus, you're a great teacher, you're a great philosopher, a great moral professor, come back to Athens with us. Leave Jerusalem. If you stay here, you will be killed. Come back to Athens and we'll set you up as a great philosopher. We'll have you as one of our university professors. We'll give you tenure. You can be here for a while. We treat our philosophers with great respect. In Greece, we love wisdom. We love knowledge. We will sit at your feet and learn. We've always treated our great men with honor and respect, except for Socrates, of course. We gave him that hemlock poison, but We've regretted that ever since. We won't do that to you. No hemlock for you, Jesus. Come back to Athens and everything will be fine. In other words, escape. Run away from the cross. Run away from the crucifixion. Well, that seems to be the message, because how does the Lord respond? He says, no. This is my hour of glorification, which is referring to his passion, his death, and his resurrection. He says, this is why I've come into the world. He says, I've not come into the world to be a great philosopher or a great teacher. I've come into the world to be a savior. I've come into the world to be a redeemer, to die for the salvation of the human race. Now, Jesus does not quote the Old Testament for the Greeks, because that would not have made an impression upon them. What does the Lord do? He uses an example from nature. He uses the example of planting a seed, because that's something they can relate to. He uses a natural analogy. He says, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it is buried and dies, it will produce an abundant harvest. Our Lord was referring to his own life. He said, if I remain here on earth and go to Athens and become a teacher, my life will be fruitless. But if I am like that seed that dies and is buried, I will produce a great harvest. And by our Lord's death, he would open the gates of heaven. He would redeem the entire human race. So that's the message he tells the Greeks, that I am like that grain of wheat. I must die, but from my death will come forth an abundant harvest. In other words, I will redeem the world by my death. And this is my hour of glorification. But then the Lord, it says, after he gives this message to the Greeks, he then turns to his heavenly Father and he prays. And an amazing thing happens, something that only happened 3 times in our Lord's life that we know of, and that is the voice of God the Father speaks to him from the heavens. The first time was at the Lord's baptism. After he came up out of the Jordan water, it says, the heavens opened, the voice of God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And then, at the transfiguration, Jesus took Peter, James, and John up the mountain, and again, the cloud came over them, and the voice of God the Father said, this is my beloved Son, listen to him. And then this is the third time. It's really one of the 3 big events in the life of the Lord. And yet, we always pass over this very important event. But this occurred 1 week before our Lord died on the cross. And this occurred in Jerusalem, on the outskirts of the temple, in the court of the Gentiles. It said, Jesus prayed to his Father, Father, should I say, save me from this hour? It was for this purpose that I came. Remember that all of us come into the world to live. One man came into the world to die, and that was Christ. That was his purpose. His mission was to redeem the world. And he then said, Father, glorify your name. And here we have it. God the Father now speaks for the 3rd time in the Lord's life. Once at the baptism, once at the transfiguration, and now here. In the temple of Jerusalem, 1 week before Passover, God the Father says, I have glorified, and I will glorify it again. And it even says that the crowds heard this. They thought it was thunder. Some people thought it was an angel speaking. But Jesus said, this voice was the voice of my heavenly Father. And then the Lord concludes by telling the people that now is the time of his glorification, that the prince of this world would now be cast out. Who is the prince of this world? It's the devil. Satan, it says, will now be driven out, Jesus said. And now, when I am lifted up from the earth, I will draw everyone to myself. And then John tells us that Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death that he would die. So Jesus was not going to escape or run away from the cross. He said, this is why I have come, because it's only when I am lifted up that I will draw everyone to myself. His lifting up, of course, is the crucifixion, but it also, the lifting up also is our Lord's resurrection and his ascension, where he now sits at the right hand of the Father. And actually, many of the saints have said it also refers to the Eucharist, because at the Mass, Christ is lifted up in the Eucharist. When you come to Eucharistic adoration, Christ is lifted up in the monstrance, and we come to adore him. At the Mass, in a few moments, the bells will ring, and Christ will become present under the appearance of bread and wine. And when Christ is lifted up, he draws all of us to himself. We even say, Lord, I'm not worthy to receive you, but only say the word, and I shall be healed. So the lifting up of Christ on the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, and in the Mass is how he draws all humanity to himself. And I think that the main lesson we should learn from today's gospel is that in our own lives, we should not be tempted to run away from the cross. We should not be tempted to run away from the sufferings that we have. Each of us has, a cross to carry. Sometimes it's a physical ailment. Sometimes it's emotional or spiritual or financial, whatever it might be. Each of us has a choice to make, just as Jesus had a choice 1 week before his death. Does he flee and run away from the cross and go to safety? Or does he embrace the cross for our redemption and salvation? When you and I are given a choice, sometimes the right thing is not always the easy thing. For example, following the Ten Commandments, being faithful to Christ and the teachings of the church. Well, that's not the easiest thing to do. In a sense, that's embracing the cross. But our Lord said, embrace it. Don't run away from your cross. Carry it. Embrace it. Because if you do, if you're willing to embrace the cross, that's where redemption comes from. That's where salvation comes from. That's where sanctification comes from. Don't run away from the cross. Because if we embrace the cross, we will be sanctified, purified, made holy. And if we are faithful, uniting ourselves with the cross on Good Friday, we will also share in the glory of the resurrection on Easter morning. God bless you.